And you turn with me to the book of Zechariah, prophecy, Zechariah, second last book of the Old Testament. Chapter 3. Just for brevity, I will begin at verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Chapter 6 of the same book. Verse 11. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest. Speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is a branch, he shall grow up out of his place. He will build the temple of the Lord, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. He shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. The book of Isaiah, the prophet. Chapter 4. One verse. Verse 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Chapter 11. Verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Just a few verses now in the book we've been considering, and our brother has read from the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 11. Verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches. Though the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. To address such scriptures requires an accumulation of Bible knowledge which I do not possess, but I wish with the Lord's help to gather up at least some of our thoughts and ministry of these last days. The epistle to the Romans, as we know, was written by the apostle to the Gentiles, but who formed this company, the instrument that formed it, we do not know. In a way, it has a parallel with the epistle to the Hebrews, where the curtain is drawn round the writer, so to speak, because the speaker is the Son. The speaker is the Son. In the epistle to the Romans, the speaker is the creator of the universe, God himself. So instruments disappear. And the one who holds the planet in its orbit, he speaks, God himself. And he alone can dispense the light. He alone can break through the clouds of darkness, paganism, and idolatry. Blessed be God. Christendom, the whole course of Western civilization, is the evidence of the breaking through of these clouds, this dispensing of that darkness, and emancipating Europe into civilization and Christianity. It's very wonderful. If there is another wonder, it's the fact that the intellectual man of today can't see it. And alas, it's the beginning of the shadow of apostasy which shall fall upon the city that we have been considering, and the ministry which was given to it in that early day. But though the clouds are gathering, Though the darkness is deepening. Someone has said, coming events cast their shadows before, but we are not of the night, we are of the day. God has given us the assurance that he will banish the darkness and remove the sin and emancipate his children. The branch, my servant, the branch, the man, the branch, the branch of Jehovah, the branch out of the root of Jesse. Our brother has been continually warning us that we must read the type in the reality, and we shall try to do this. The great question in the first passage I read is sin and the priesthood. The man is brought forward in the infinite mercy of God. And this is God's prerogative and his alone. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That thread runs right through the wonderful ways of God. I will put my bow in the cloud. Nevertheless, the sons of Korah perish not. Revelation chapter 4 is a holocaust sweet for the planet. The bow is round the throne. Ere the mills of divine retribution sweep, the bow is on his head in chapter 10. Wonderful mercy, that he might have mercy upon all. So he says, bring forth the mitre and put it on his head. Get him the priestly garments. And the stone was laid. The stone which the builders rejected has become the headstone of the corner. This is Jehovah's doings. And it is marvelous in our eyes. In chapter 6, he is crowned as the king. The crown, the royal crown, is put on his head. And the throne is before him. We see in this dual passage the wonderful thoughts of God in a man who would hold for him approach and display figuratively in this man, Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. Ample record of it in the New Testament, chapter 5 of the Epistle to the Hebrews. He who called him in Psalm 2, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, calls him in Psalm 110. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 10. So is thy God a priest after the order of Melchizedek. In the next chapter, God swears, and then by two immutable things, we have had this before us in our readings, in the promise that God made to Abraham, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to let hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and entering to that within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, called of God, priest after the order of Melchizedek. What a wonderful man. God calls him carefully. God salutes him officially. And in the power of what he has accomplished in his devotion to the will of God, he is set down in all the moral greatness of his work and person, priest after the order of Melchizedek. What a wonderful person we are considering. What a wonderful work he has accomplished. He shall bear the glory. He shall sit upon his throne. He shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. An unbroken affinity in that day of display. And there will be an answer to every thought of God, every aspiration of God in that world to come. In Isaiah, it's the branch of Jehovah. It's Emmanuel. The answer to the gospel by Matthew. When he came in lowly grace, sitting upon a foal and a colt, the foal of an ass. And it ended in tears on the slopes of Jerusalem, on the slopes of Olivet. He will come out in all the regal splendor of his greatness and worth, and he shall ride upon the colt, the unbroken colt, in an unbroken, unblemished reign, and he shall have dominion from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. A rod shall come out of the stem of Jesse. Now, no doubt, it's his dominical rights, no doubt, as a son of man. But a branch shall come out of his roots. Whose roots? David's roots? No. He is the root. He is the offspring of David. Absolutely true and guaranteed from Scripture. but it shall branch out of the root of Jesse. Our brother, some years ago, ministered to us from this beautiful passage. No doubt it's the olive branch. The guarantee of resurrection, ascension, glory with Christ above, for the Spirit, all-pervading hosts, unnumbered, round the land. Our brother, there the hymn, if only started, and how sweet to enjoy something now of the sweetness of that scene. We have got along in his own rest. It's full enough.